hearts in prayer. Lord, we have come together and we thank thee for this evening and this hour. Lord, as we have come together, we pray that thou wouldst give unto us our daily bread, the very sustenance of life for each one of us in this evening. O Lord, as we have come to receive from thee, we pray, Heavenly Father, that our eyes would be fixed upon thee, that we would see thee in all thy splendor and beauty, thy greatness of who thou art, Lord Jesus, that we would simply fall at thy feet for learning, O Lord, and speak mightily to each of our hearts this evening. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. There was a desire with God's help to read from the book of Hebrews, chapter number 2, and desire to read the first 4 verses. The Epistle of Paul to the Hebrews, chapter 2, the first 4 verses. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. May God bless. Dear ones, the chapter we have before us calls us to pay attention, close attention, to what was read in, or what was written in chapter 1. And chapter 1 of Hebrews does not give us any commandment at all. It doesn't tell us how to live. It doesn't lay out the way of salvation. There's nothing that is given in there of a commandment. In the first chapter, we read that God's word came through his Son, Jesus Christ. And so God has spoken in the last days and days in which the apostles had written this word, in the days which we live in. These are the last days. And God spoke lastly through his Son, Jesus. And so he spoke of the greatness. Apostle is writing of the greatness of Jesus, of his superiority over the angels, who were the ones who God had spoken through in Old Testament times. And so, as he speaks of his superiority, his purity, in whom was no iniquity, only righteousness, and so on, as he speaks of those things, he tells us now in chapter 2, he says, therefore, because of Jesus, and that he has brought the gospel, and because God has spoken through him lastly, he says, now you ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. And what he tells us to be very careful of, and I think the word that I'd like to really maybe focus on mostly is salvation. And he talks about salvation. He says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? He doesn't just say how if we neglect salvation. Salvation is the word salvation is it. Its origins are in the love of God. Its wisdom is God's. Its power is from God. Salvation itself, and Paul doesn't just say if we neglect a salvation. He says, and he doesn't even say a great salvation. He describes the great salvation as so great salvation. And we might think that's not really so great salvation, but if we think about how God describes his love, he says, it doesn't say God loved the world. He says God so loved the world. The same love which God had, he is speaking of the greatness of this salvation which is given freely to mankind. So great of a salvation is the so great of the love that God had showed when he sent his only begotten Son to die for our sins. And he says here, it doesn't say if you don't believe, if you reject it, you know, because he just says neglect. Now, to neglect something would be not necessarily to forget about it in every way. You know, just like things that we might own at home if we know we have something. We don't watch over it every day or expose perhaps something all day, but we kind of neglect it. We know where it's at and we just leave it alone. It's neglected. It's not something that is dear to us, that is with us all the time. And so he's speaking of a neglect of this so great salvation, which in the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard. So Jesus spoke of this salvation, and he says here, Apostle Paul says, it was confirmed unto us by them that heard. There are those who heard it firsthand. Paul is saying those things were confirmed. The things that Jesus spoke were confirmed to us also, and that God also bore them witness. So Jesus spoke it, witnesses heard it, and then lastly it says, and God also is bearing them witness. And how? With the signs and the wonders that he performed through the Apostle Paul, through the apostles, and those who were witnesses of this so great salvation which was being offered and given freely to mankind. And so he says, if the word that was spoken by the angels was steadfast. So he's saying an angel spoke it. And when the angel spoke it, he said it was steadfast. And every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. There was no neglect of the law that was given, that was delivered by the angel. He says, so if the angels that spoke the word, and if that was never left, he says, how are you going to escape? The question is asked, how shall we escape? Why? Therefore, because of who Jesus is. Now, give heed. Give the more earnest heed to the things which you have heard, lest we should let them slip. Just let them slip is a neglect. We're not holding fast. We're not holding on. We're not holding on dear to this gospel, which Apostle Paul speaks of in Corinthians. He says, but we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. Okay, so we just see glimpses of the glory of the Lord as it is spoken of, because we can't see clearly. He says, and we by seeing. So by hearing this chapter 1 where he speaks of the greatness of the Lord, he says, we are, as we behold the glory of the Lord, he says, we are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. We are being changed into that same image that we behold through his word, which was spoken of and witnessed, and God gave witness also when he gave Peter and John and Paul. He didn't give them power. They just called upon the power of God to raise some from the dead, to heal, and so on. And so we are also changed into that same image from glory to glory. And he goes on and he says later in it says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded. He's speaking of if the gospel is hid unto us. This what Jesus has delivered to us. If he says, if it is hidden, it is hidden to them that are lost. We just read recently in Peter of being blinded, not being able to see afar off. And he says, who is the gospel hid? It is hid to them that are lost. He says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded their minds, the minds of them which believeth not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God. So the glorious gospel of Christ, this is the gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ, Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the glory of God. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And we are transformed into that image. And he's saying here, you must know who Jesus is. And give the more earnest heed, lest they slip. And so he's saying, how shall we escape? Well, how? Well, we won't. We can't. Because in this same chapter, or same book, in chapter 12, he says, see that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. How shall we escape is the question. The answer is, we won't. We won't escape. So he says, so take the more earnest heed. Listen. Listen to this word, the gospel. This is what Apostle John spoke of, that the word came and the word was God and the word was made flesh. And so the gospel of Jesus Christ is Jesus himself. His gospel is his word, which is himself. It is him. And so if we neglect this, we neglect it by allowing it. We know when something is neglected, it drifts away. We talk about the Word of God talks about backsliding, drifting away from that which is, you know, we should be. It's often described as a river or a stream, right, where we are rowing and moving forward. Our ship of faith is moving forward against the tide, because the tide that is against us is Satan and all his demons and those who are out to deceive and to take this precious word away from us. And so if we allow it to slip, if we allow it to drift away, we're not moving forward. We know, we've seen things in the rivers that drift by, things that are dead, that have no life in them, they drift away. They can't battle the stream. If you see a dead fish, it floats by you. It floats by. It drifts away. And that is what we, when we take our eyes off of Jesus, we're not taking earnest heed. There's something else that we take earnest heed to, and not Jesus. And when we do that, we will drift. We will drift away. Speaking of the glory of Christ, and it tells us in Colossians, Paul says that in him dwelleth all of the fullness of the Godhead bodily. This is who Jesus is. In him dwells all of the fullness of the Godhead bodily, in Jesus Christ. He says, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. All wisdom and knowledge, the treasures of those things are hidden in Jesus. And so that's why Jesus says, learn of me. This salvation that is being offered is his wisdom, rooted in his love, grounded in his love. Not desiring that any man should perish, but that all should come to the saving knowledge, that wisdom and knowledge that is found in Jesus. That we should come to that and focus our eyes on him, and so that our ship of faith would be moving forward against the tide with a clear destination in mind. And now, what is it by us yielding unto him? Salvation is the power of God moving us forward. He doesn't leave us with the knowledge of him and the helplessness with which to do anything. Learning of him and being powerless to do that which he calls us to do. He doesn't leave us powerless. He imparts unto us his wisdom and his power. So salvation is his power, not yours or mine. And so we yield to that. And not dismissing our transgressions. He says, because if every transgression had a recompense of reward, he said, how shall we escape? We can make plans how to escape. We can create different meanings to the Bible. We can read different interpretations. We can read liberal interpretations. And we can say, well, you know, this is just how this church interprets it. You know, this isn't wrong either. We can interpret all kinds of things. We can do whatever we want to do. We can think we're going to escape. He says, you're not going to escape. There will be no escape when we don't take an earnest heed to God speaking to us. It says, he spoke in times past in different manners unto the fathers by the prophets. He said, in these last days he spoke unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. So, all things were created by him, for him, and everything was given and created to glorify him. And so, man, you and I, are the only ones of his creation that refuse to take heed to his glory and majesty, his power, by neglecting salvation. So great salvation. I believe that when we look at those words, so great, that it literally gives a limitless description of this salvation which is being offered. And what does salvation mean to me and to you? What is the salvation? Is it something that we have neglected in our daily? We know when we don't neglect something, what kind of attention we give to it. What kind of attention do we give to the Lord Jesus himself, in whom is hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge? You know, the pursuit of things of this life, and we teach our children as much as we can with what we know. And every generation has perhaps more means and more education and more ways and knowledge in which to get ahead in the material world. And we don't neglect to impart that knowledge on our children. We'd like to lead them. And how disappointed are we when children, or anyone really, refuses to listen to experience? You know, today, it's not today, it's always been that way. A teenager, when they grow up, they start to learn, and their knowledge has increased so much that they think they know it all. And they dismiss the wisdom that comes with age, those who lived through things and have experience that they can't learn otherwise. And so as we try to impart some of this earthly wisdom on our children and it is neglected, we know that there is trouble for them, and they will not be able to sustain themselves. They're going to become a burden upon some others, or whatever the case might be. And so we're disappointed, greatly disappointed. And how much do we impart to them so great salvation, which we ought to know, the treasure of wisdom and knowledge in Jesus Christ? We must be able to pass on to our children, and spoken volumes by that which is made manifest in our own life to them. And how much direction is given, and take heed to these things which we read and have come to learn and know. And are we as disappointed when this so great salvation is neglected as we are when we want to impart some earthly financial wisdom or health, wisdom of health and how to eat and treat yourself and so on? Somehow we have a satisfaction if we see success. There's a satisfaction. If a soul is lost and successful, how tragic is that? And yet, we may not think of it as that tragic. And that's perhaps because we ourselves have neglected this so great salvation and don't really realize that this is the power of God. And our neglect is on salvation itself. And perhaps our lives are also focused, and we are not letting the things drift by us that will bring health and wealth and success in this world. And we stand in awe of men of success, and we'll read books and read documentaries and watch and learn how. And Apostle Paul is saying, don't neglect this. This is the only thing that matters. It is the only thing that matters. Because you know what? When we direct our children into the truths of God and teach the wisdom of God, all the treasures that are hidden in Jesus Christ. And they can see those things by life that is lived by us. None of the things will be neglected. A man won't be lazy because he is a Christian. He will not be lazy. He will learn who Jesus is. He will learn what Jesus is calling us to be, stewards and so on. And everything fits, everything goes when one gives his heart and his life to Jesus Christ. There's nothing that is then neglected or put aside as of meaningless. When Jesus himself, or the word itself, teaches us that we will, by the sweat of the brow, work for our daily bread here. And so how much time is given, really, unto those things? And the word here is calling us to pay close attention to salvation which is offered through Jesus Christ. What makes a man believe? What makes a man have faith? What makes a man think that he has faith? Could we question any of what is spoken here and just say, well, we have no proof or evidence of any of this which is spoken? And there's really only one thing that gives us in chapter 12 of Hebrews, it says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. These are the witnesses of chapter 11, the witnesses of faith. He says, let us lay aside every weight. Let us lay aside every weight. What will cause us to doubt is the weight of sin. Let's lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And again, who do we look unto? Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Dear ones, the cross is God's answer to his being holy and just, and to him being so loving. And it was Jesus Christ who went on the cross to bring together the love of God and the holiness of God and make that reconciliation available. This is what salvation is. This is what is being offered. This is the so great salvation that Jesus has come and he's revealed in himself. He lived, he did, he lived what he is asking you and I. But more than that, he gives us the power. The power is his. So salvation is his power also. There's no reason for us to doubt. There's no reason, a young man, young lady, there's no reason to fear that I won't be able to be faithful. See, the fear of God is actually replaced, because you today fear what God is going to do to you because you know what the Bible says. So you fear hell. You fear, and that's the fear of God. That's the beginning of this wisdom. But that fear, it says perfect love casts out fear. But that fear doesn't really, it just changes. Because as a servant of the Lord, what we fear now is that we would sadden our Lord. So it's that love, that when you have a love for someone, it is so great, you don't want to sadden them. You don't want to grieve them. So that fear now becomes that I would grieve the Holy Spirit, that I would grieve him. And so that fear is no longer a fear of the penalty, because I am his, and I have surrendered everything. And my eyes are fixed on him, and I've learned of him and his meekness and the steps that he has trod and walked, and I am walking with him. And so now I fear to forsake him and cause him to be grieved by me, who he has died for and shed his precious blood. And so dear ones, we can very easily look into our hearts and see, have we neglected this so great salvation that is given unto us? Have we neglected it? And Apostle Paul is simply just bringing to our attention that neglecting this, how shall you escape? How shall you escape? Every transgression had its recompense or reward. The only way that you and I can escape that recompense or reward for when we have transgressed is what Jesus says. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent. Repent. And Jesus, in his infinite love, in the wisdom of God, in the love of God, in the power of God, forgives, transforms, brings us into that same image. We're transformed. And we live lives that are holy and pure. And then we can teach our children, our neighbors, our friends. We can teach them more than anything through the life of a surrendered will to God, for his glory and for our salvation. Amen.